Yo, yo, what's up, everyone? The episode you're about to hear was recorded at the Ethereum Hackathon in Singapore, and I was super lucky to meet face-to-face some of the people we had on the show. So enjoy these mini episodes, and we'll see you in the next episodes of Crypto 101. Mr. Xin Xu Dong.
Matthew, thank you.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing very well.
Excellent, excellent, man. It's awesome to see you in person.
Me too.
I think the first time that we spoke was, Zilliqa was still doing their ICO, and it was back in February, January. And well, Zilliqa has been doing quite a lot since then. You have an amazing office here. I can't wait to, you know, stop talking here and go take some pictures and meet everybody and see what's going on in the office, because there's a lot of stuff going on here. But first, how have you been? I mean, how's Zilliqa been doing? How's Singapore?
Singapore is great, you know, as sort of a blockchain hub in some sense. You know, the government is pushing very hard for adoption of blockchain, rolling out different programs. You know, recently we got awarded with one of the programs. And you know, Zilliqa has been super busy. I think it's been a very crazy year. We grew from just a bunch of people now to over 20. Mm. In this office we have about 20, but we have other people across the globe. It's just a lot of work this year, you know. Mm-hmm. You have to develop the protocol, you have to deliver testnet one after another, you have to do testing, security auditing, you know, just super very busy.
You know, I was talking to other people that have companies here in Singapore, and they all mentioned the same thing. The government is very supportive. What does that mean? Why, and how are they more supportive than, say, moving to, I don't know, Toronto or San Francisco or Malta or Puerto Rico?
I think here the Singapore government is you know, sort of looking at the potential of future technologies in a sense. So it's not like they just love blockchain but nothing else. They like many of the new technologies, including blockchain, including cloud, including AI, including, you know, cybersecurity, privacy preserving, you know. They just love all these new technologies because they see that Singapore as a very small country, you know, with limited population, with limited resources. So if you can tap onto the next wave, the technical evolution, you can create a huge value. So blockchain is one of them. And they do understand that, you know, with blockchain providing almost, you know, the best transparency and, you know, trustless setup, you can do many of the things that were not possible before. So for example, there's this project Ubing led by one of the government agencies. They're looking at different ways to use a blockchain for currency and other financial services for Singapore. Of course, this is still at, you know, this exploratory stage, but you know, many exciting things are coming out of that. And in general, as a blockchain company in Singapore, we just feel like we are welcome, we are well supported.
Mm-hmm. And is it supported by just, say, welcoming to new technologies into Singapore, or is there tax incentives, or are they really working to help people set up here? Because I was just talking to Jason Xu of the congressman from Taiwan, and Taiwan is setting up a fund to help people set up blockchain companies here. What is it like here?
Yeah, we have fund programs for sure, and with very nice terms. And you know, you can feel that the government agencies or government bodies here are just very helpful. Sometimes without even, let's say, a clear reason why would they help you, but they just feel you're a new company, you are doing something very cool. You definitely have new challenges in terms of, let's say, hiring people, in terms of getting connected to other industry players. They just happily make instructions, for example. And this is not just with one agency, it's many.
Mm-hmm. So you guys are here. Why do you choose to, I know you said the government, but why is it that you choose to stay here? You could go anywhere. I mean, to operate in Singapore is not cheap. Why Singapore?
I think we started here, you know. Yeah. Many people call Singapore home. Yeah. So I think that's the fundamental reason. We just, you know, didn't want to move anywhere.
True.
But of course, in the meanwhile, we tried to expand. Like, we have office in London, we have some researchers and engineers in Europe, in India, or things like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, naturally you can't just have the whole team here because you just want the best talents across the globe. But on the other hand, I think Singapore is great. There's no reason to move, you know, anywhere else.
One thing I always say on the show is I really like companies that keep us informed, people that, you know, have invested into the project, you know, in this, following the project. Sometimes, you know, people, you know, especially when the market's down, everybody gets quiet. And this is when the real work happens, is when the market's down. But you guys keep coming with updates to your projects and keeping everybody informed. Can you just give a brief summary since the ICO, since to today, what have you guys accomplished?
I think we roll out several versions of the testnet. You could call this testnet sort of as milestones of our technical development. So this version, you know, it's much, much stable. It has all the features that are going to be rolled out at the mainnet. and it's getting more stable, and more importantly, external people now can, you know, run their computers or mining hardware to join this testnet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's happening every day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm very glad we could achieve that within just less than a year's time. Of course, in the meanwhile, we try to go across different places, try to meet with people, try to, you know, tell them how cool Zilliqa is or Zilliqa will be, mm-hmm. Once it becomes like a fully functional platform, so that people can understand how they can, you know, leverage this platform to build some of the coolest the apps they have in their mind. So we also rolled out this ecosystem grant program. This is just to help people bootstrap some of the projects they have in mind. Sometimes they need a little bit of funding support, just to, for example, pay for, let's say, UI design. Sometimes, you know, they are doing this on a part-time basis. So this is kind of a little, you know, funding support may really help them. And there are many cool projects coming out of, you know, such ecosystem community program. For example, we have some of the, you know, beautiful wallets, mm-hmm. and people are going to use them for our mainnet. And we have different developer tools that will help programmers to program smart contracts on Zilliqa. Yeah, that's pretty much what we've been busy with this year.
Right on. When mainnet?
We already said it's end of Jan.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
That's end of Jan.
So you said you know, you have a cool projects, cool things coming out. How cool do you think it is? And then what I mean by how cool you think it is, how confident do you think that Zilliqa is going to meet your vision?
I think Zilliqa, you know, in many ways has already met our vision. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, as stage one, we have many, you know, later stages where we are going to work on, you know, even harder problems. But, you know, at least at the first stage, where we want to deliver a fast blockchain with very strong security in the smart contract layer, that's something we have sort of already delivered. Of course, we need to make sure this is very robust, very stable when we launch the mainnet. But, you know, largely speaking, the technology has already been developed. So what is so cool about this, right? I think this is going to be the first blockchain that has, in a way, fully embodied sharding from its own design. Mm-hmm. And it's just not easy to make it work.
Right.
The conceptual level is easy. Everyone understands it now. I think I did enough interviews to educate people what is sharding about.
Right.
But really to make it work and make it efficient when you have thousands of nodes, that's a huge challenge. And we have so many stories to tell. I think, you know, our head of tech, Yao Qi, will have, you know, a better position to share with some of the stories. There are so many stories we can tell during the development process where we try and sometimes we fail. Mm-hmm. So we have to come up with a better design, a better solution, just to make things run much faster, run much more stably. Mm-hmm. So this is sort of, you know, a series of lessons we have learned during the design and implementation of this protocol. So when people see it, people may see it, okay, that's great. But, you know, what people don't see immediately are the stories behind this development,
right,
where we actually learn a lot. You know, some mm-hmm. of the ideas to make systems work may apply just beyond the blockchain, maybe into other systems as well.
You said those stories and the things that you're learning along the way. And I think that is very hard to keep morale sometimes, because you might fail a lot and you might hear the crypto Twitter, the press or whatever come with very negative, you know, criticisms of what you're doing, even though you know you're working hard. We see that there's an office. We see that you guys are still here. You guys are, you know, moving forward. And, you know, January for the mainnet is a huge accomplishment in such a short time. So congratulations with that. And now that the market has taken a dip, people are losing confidence in the market, in Bitcoin and Ethereum. How does that affect the work that you're doing?
I don't see any, you know, sort of direct impact on the work we're doing. I mean, we're just doing the same thing as we've been working on. Sometimes people feel we are very quiet. That's because we're busy coding. but, you know, when the market goes down, we are still busy with coding.
Right.
I don't see any sort of direct impact. But of course, you know, there will be some slight impact. For example, people who just didn't like blockchain in general now may have some evidence as they see it doesn't work. You know, the market is going down. But mm-hmm. to us, I think what we strive for is real adoption. Use cases that are, you know, fundamentally different than today's centralized systems. So we are just, you know, very busy working on both the platform as well as these use cases that may, you know, come on top of our platform. Sometimes, yes, some people may no longer believe in the beauty of the blockchain technology, but, you know, we have to cope with it. Mm-hmm. We try to work with people who still believe this is the future.
There are people that believe it's the future, and then you said there are people that say, I told you so, and then more and more you see, and it's really hard to convince people that, you know, blockchain technology is separate from the price of Bitcoin. What kind of challenges do you think that Zilliqa's going to have in the future to make people come and trust blockchain technology when they have a link to a price, not a technology?
That's really something, you know, I personally want to change. So these are two separate things. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we are talking about blockchain as a technology, but more important, blockchain as a platform that will enable things. So these definitely, you know, when people got excited about blockchain, I don't know, a year ago, slightly less. So that was when people feel that that's an interesting opportunity for them to make money out of. But, you know, to me, that's always not the priority, because what I see why people are getting interested in this blockchain technology, fundamentally speaking, is there's a potential. Mm-hmm. You know, this potential may not be realized, let's say, just next 6 months, but it eventually will be realized. Mm-hmm. I would find it very difficult to believe if eventually this technology will not bring a real change to the world. So I think that's some of the, you know, mindset that people will see evolving going forward. So this market condition may not be a bad thing, you know, it will just cool people down, mm-hmm. and look at the core of the technology and look at the real potential of what these things can bring to the world.
Part of making, I think, any blockchain company successful is going to make it autonomous and de-link it from Bitcoin and Ethereum and things like that. Bitcoin goes down, Zilliqa goes down, everything goes down. Ethereum goes down, everything goes down. What do you think it's going to take for Zilliqa to stand by itself in price and in reputation?
I'm not sure about the price, but I'm sure about the reputation part, because you sort of have to attract your own users who are using the platform on a daily basis. And you have to attract users in the right way by having the interesting, you know, decentralized applications that they feel useful. I see that's the only way. I just don't see there's any other way that we can establish our own reputation in the space. And, you know, coming back to the establishment of the project, that's the sole purpose, right? You build something, yes, it's cool, that's great. Mm-hmm. But eventually, you want this to be useful.
Right.
It's useful to, you know, some people at least. Hopefully it's useful to a broader group of people.
I kind of want to ask this question because I just want to see, since this is your baby and your brainchild, I kind of want your, I guess, optimal use case of Zilliqa. If you had your conception of one app or dApp that was using Zilliqa, what would that app be? What industry would it be?
I would certainly say it's something in the financial services sector. Mm-hmm. Although I don't have a super clear picture of what kind of application that is. But I really believe that, you know, from inception of Bitcoin, this is the right direction to go. I think we have to solve many of the challenges. For example, we have to be fully compliant. We have to meet all the regulatory, you know, requirements in a sense. But I still feel that this is going to be way better than, you know, today's payment solutions or today's, you know, even banking systems in general. This one is more efficient. This one is more secure. Mm-hmm. This one is more transparent.
Last question. First, I want to say, you know, thank you very much for inviting me to your office. You know, thank you very much for being welcoming. And, you know, this is really cool to meet everybody here and, you know, taking time out of your day. I know you're a busy man. People are discouraged in the market right now. And Let's not even talk about price. But just because they see the market as going the way it's going, people are losing faith. What would you tell them, like, to the new person that may be watching this or the old person? What would you tell them about the future of blockchain?
I think the future of the blockchain is not what the blockchain is next month. So that's something people have to, you know, keep in mind. If we are too impatient, we may not give anything new enough time to grow. So I would really ask for some of the room for blockchain technologies to grow and evolve by itself. So what we see today may not be, you know, what the blockchain will actually be used 10 years down the road. But if we don't go through the procedure, sometimes, you know, mm-hmm. tough and challenging procedure, you'll never see it, right? So that's why we have to do all our best to develop the best technology. We do our best to reach out to the community and encourage them to build coolest apps. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have to do our best to build our own use cases as well.
Right.
But, you know, it's all aligned in this idea of, you know, building the platform and making it useful and usable. So that's how the future is directed, you know, to me for blockchain. If we talk about losing faith because, you know, things have changed, that would not be called faith, right? you know, if you have faith, you have faith in it, you know, whatever that is.
Man, thank you very much.
Thank you, Matthew.
All right, brother.